When we speak of wetlands, most often people conjure up images of tidal marshlands supporting a variety of shorebirds. But another important type of wetland is the vernal pool. These seasonal wetlands occur in the uplands, sometimes very far from large bodies of water like San Francisco Bay, and they are host to an incredible array of plants and wildlife. This is your wetlands.
When you go uplands, we also have wetlands, and those are depressions in the ground. And in our area, many people who work in their backyards know we have a lot of clay soil, and water doesn't tend to sink in very quickly. So when it rains during the winter in these areas where you have these shallow depressions, the water just collects and can stay for months at a time if it's large enough and enough clay soil. And that becomes what's called a seasonal wetland. We have a lot of vernal pools in the Central Valley and some in the San Francisco Bay Area.
My guest is Arthur Feinstein, chairman of the Citizens Committee to Complete the Refuge, an environmental organization in the South Bay that helped create and then expand the Don Edwards San Francisco Bay National Wildlife Refuge. During our conversation, Arthur explains how seasonal wetlands provide a critical habitat, not just here in the Bay Area, but around the country.
Prairie potholes are a form of seasonal wetland in the Dakotas, where something like 80 or 90% of our ducks in the central part of our country come to a nest every year. And there's probably hundreds of thousands of these little depressions where the ducks come in and lay their eggs on the grass around these ponds and then breed a whole new generation of ducks. And so these little depressional areas, and they're all usually very small. Vernal pools are very small. In the Bay Area, we can have seasonal wetlands that can be acres in size. A vernal pool can be 100 square feet. They provide many valuable functions. One is, as I just said, for waterfowl, for example, really important habitat for breeding or for resting during migration. Because they sort of form a unique kind of habitat, and because we've been destroying many of them in the Central Valley and in the Bay Area, because they are in uplands, they're not protected very well by regulatory agencies. We've been losing them rapidly over the last 100 years. And as a result, many unique critters that reside there are disappearing. Examples are things called fairy shrimp or tadpole shrimp. That's really a small little invertebrate that, when there's water, will become alive and reproduce. And when it's dry, they can stay in dry ponds where there's not enough rain for 10 or 15 years without becoming alive. And then as soon as water is added, whoops, here they come. You have a tadpole shrimp ready to create more tadpole shrimp. And tadpole shrimp are endangered because so many pools are disappearing. And these vernal pools also have very unique wildflower displays that are just exquisite. And many of those plants are also on endangered species list. So they do lots of things for critters and plants. They actually, in the Bay Area, act as flood control basins for us because they collect water. And so when we have big storms, instead of flooding our streets, they flood these ponds. And they act sort of like detention basins, what developers put in nowadays on top of destroyed vernal pools. And so they serve a lot of functions for us, for providing habitat for critters, providing us with controls for flooding, providing beautiful aesthetic pleasures through their wildflowers, and also helping in terms of water quality, because almost all wetlands help in one way or the other of taking out nutrients from our water supply so we don't have too much nitrogen or phosphorus in our lakes and streams or the bay.
Unlike maybe the tidal wetlands that are more visible to people, the vernal pools at 100 square feet or these small little indentations probably would not be well known by the general public unless they lived on this property. And then the fact that unique plants and animals have co-evolved in these locations would not be well known. That sounds like a pretty important story.
Well, it is. And it's getting more well known now because as vernal pools start disappearing, regulatory agencies and biologists are starting to say, well, wait a minute, these are important resources. Shouldn't we be thinking about preserving them? Certainly there are efforts to do that. Unfortunately, several Supreme Court decisions have removed a lot of these, what they term isolated wetlands, not connected to big bodies of water, have removed them from federal jurisdiction, and that also often takes them away from state jurisdiction. And so a lot of these pools are not being regulated. And even when they are, because usually they're powerful economic interests that are destroying them for either agriculture or housing, they tend to get developed anyway with attempts to mitigate or create new ones somewhere else. But because they occur in very unique areas, it's very hard to replicate them. And so the whole thing's a mess right now in terms of the potential for their survival. There's really a question of whether in 100 years we're going to have many of these pools and the unique species that they support still around. It's very tenuous at the moment.
You've been listening to an interview with Arthur Feinstein of the Citizens Committee to Complete the Refuge, a partner organization of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture. Our podcast is supported through grants from Pacific Gas and Electric Company and the California Coastal Conservancy. We also want you to know about a conference we think you'll find interesting. It is the State of the San Francisco Estuary Conference, being held October 16th through the 18th in Oakland, California. To learn more, we have a link next to this program, but if you're listening to us through a podcast, you can find out more about the conference by visiting yourwetlands.org, then click on the podcast link. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jerry Kaye.